Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big.
It's the Burt Show.
All right, this is how Ask a Race works. Look, I have said this before. In fact, it came up last week when I was at that Converse party also. I am sorry, but from where I stand, this is a racially fractured city still, right? And I think
it's very self-segregated, I think.
I think so, too. And I think a lot of this still sort of trickles down that we just are uneducated about each other, and we're afraid to ask the questions, you know? Like, black people are afraid to ask white people questions, and white people are really afraid to ask black people questions because you don't want to be labeled racist, you don't want to be labeled ignorant, so you keep the questions in and you don't ask.
The only question I ever ask is, where do black people buy furniture? But Bert, you answered that for us several years ago with the Red House commercial.
At the Red House, where black people and white people buy furniture.
And Hispanics, too.
And other than that, I have no questions.
404-741-Q100. Intern Brandon has a question right off the bat.
Okay. Yeah, I was out at the mall not too long ago, and
A question of black people or white people?
Of white people.
Okay.
He already told us. He's offended by that.
First off, Jeff, you remember the story Melissa did about the guy who beat up his coworker with a baton? 10:15 in the parking lot. I was at the mall, and I've seen this a couple of times before. White people have a certain way of, when their kid's being bad in public, more so asking them not to be bad. She was like, oh, Billy, please stop. Mm-hmm. Mommy needs you to be good today. Mm-hmm. Why do white people do that? Because all the black people I've been around, mama just smack you up in the middle of public.
Right. Bianca had the same question, and I think this is an easy answer. I got to be honest with you, that there has been times where white kids, after being like slapped by their parents, will call the police on their own parents.
Really?
Or like,
no.
Yes.
That's not why white people do that,
I don't think
though.
That's why white people.
I think they're afraid that other people are going to see it, that you're giving your kid a smack or something, and the police is going to be called. Whereas I don't think that happens with black people.
I think you started that sentence properly. I think they were afraid. I think that as a whole, white people don't have the confidence that black people have when it comes to dealing with personal issues. So the white person doesn't want to smack their kid on the bottom and have other people look around and go, oh my God, I couldn't discipline their kid. They had to smack their kid. That's abusive, whatever. Whereas black people are like, I will smack my kid, and if you want to call me on it, I will smack you too.
We don't want to be judged.
Call the police if you want to.
Yeah, you call the police, and I'll tell the police what my kid lipped off to me.
Oh yeah, my mom has said it plenty of times. Call the police if you want to. Call them.
Yeah, I think white people are really scared that that's actually going to happen.
That's in general. I think they just spoil their kids. I think their kids are spoiled rotten more than black kids are.
You think
Yeah, I think they just spoil them.
Yeah, of course.
I want to piggyback off that question. I want to ask, why do white people talk back to their parents?
Why do what?
That's not every white person.
That's not my family.
And Millipede didn't care if she smacked me in public. So, yeah, it's not all white people.
I would never
talk back to my parents.
I would never sass my dad.
Are you going to need to get up on that mic a little bit more here, man? Good morning, Janelle. You're on Q100. Hi.
Good morning, Burt Show.
What's going on?
I was curious as to why black people pronounce the word ask, ax, and I love Carl, but he pronounces it that way as well.
I say ax.
You said, yeah, we did this on like 6 months ago, and you didn't even realize you were saying ax instead of ax.
Except it bothered him for like 48 hours, and he was coming and goes, hey, Jeff, can I ask you if you got a $1 bill for the vending machine?
You know what? That's a good question. Now, you sound black. Are you black?
I am.
Do you say, how do you say it? You say ask?
Ask, yes.
Well, that's how it's spelled. That's how it's A-S-K.
What did I just say, ask?
Yeah. She pronounces it, but it's pronounced the way it's spelled, A-S-K.
Say it one more time.
Ask.
You try it.
Ask.
There you go.
You said it right.
That's how I normally say it.
Normally it's
it's sped up.
X. You flip the K and the S, so it's like you pronounce the word ASK.
ASK?
Yeah.
Aska.
Ask. Okay, now pronounce A-X-E.
X.
That's what you normally say.
You usually say X.
X.
Carl's getting frustrated.
Hey, I'll let you know about this.
Carl's like, I didn't know there was going to be a spelling bee.
I mean, dang.
Could you use it in a sentence? Origin of the word, please.
Brandon, do you say ask or X?
I say ask.
Ask.
I make sure I pronounce
the K. Natalie?
I think I say it correctly.
Do you? Carl's looking at y'all like, I am saying it.
Say it.
Ask.
But this is the same
Natalie?
Problem that we had with...
Are you afraid to say it, Natalie?
I am now. I'm just more conscious of it. I think I want to ask a question.
There you go. But okay. This is the same thing. Remember when Joanna was in here and she said pizza?
Mm-hmm.
Or, she doesn't realize
or
it.
Or Wendy, when Wendy said frustrated.
But that's not...
Or the way they say, you say rune.
Ruin,
but that's one individual.
Right.
A lot of times, mm-hmm. there's a lot of black people that say ask.
But what I'm saying is when, like, Carl is so shocked, but, like, we've called Joanna on that, and she's like, well, what do you mean? We're like, you're saying, like you are saying pizza. And she's like, no, I'm not. I'm saying pizza. Like, right. Pizza. And she's like, yeah, pizza. Like, yeah, that's not right.
How do you say it?
Carl, you've got a question for white people.
I had a question. Now, this may not seem like a regular question, but going through Buckhead, going through some of the white neighborhoods, Buckhead and Vining, wherever the white neighborhoods are, I noticed that y'all leave y'all blinds open. Why in the hell do you not close
that.
Your blinds at night?
I don't get that either. That is just gross to me.
What? That's like more suburban.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
I don't
gross?
Like, it's gross to me because it's like exhibitionist or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see you in your house walking around. I don't
and
care
don't
if you
look.
Have clothes on or not.
Melissa, do you do it?
At nighttime, you can see in.
Yeah, I
remember,
keep mine
white
closed.
People are nosy, too, so they can't help but look.
I keep
I'm
mine
with
closed.
You, Carl.
Did you hear what Brandon just said? That white people are nosy, so they can't help but look
in. Oh, boy.
I think it's a trusting thing because I think if you are like in the burbs or whatever, mm-hmm. you don't mind people looking in your house and seeing your big screen TV.
Yeah.
Where I live,
right.
I don't want anybody to see my big screen TV.
Closing that sun down, right?
Jen actually brings her big screen TV to work.
Every day.
She carries it up from her car.
Here is Nicole. Good morning. You're on Nicole, The Burt Show. Ask a race.
Why are white women obsessed with their boobies and getting them enhanced and done?
Yeah.
Why are white women obsessed with boob jobs? Wendy.
I guess because we... I don't have my boobs done, but I would like my boobs done. No, because... I don't know. That's just what we think guys want to see are bigger boobs.
What'd you say?
Heidi Montat looks a mess.
She is a mess.
She is a mess.
She doesn't represent me.
Mm-hmm.
No, or the majority
of
girls.
I will say that, you know, there's a stereotype that black guys like, you know, like back
big
of
butts.
A woman. White boys always talk about boobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I just think women are self-conscious if they don't have big boobs because they think that guys, because that's what Wendy was saying, that white guys seem to want boobs.
I have seen black women walk into Dolvet's gym and ask how they can make their butts bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Which to
really?
A white woman is crazy talk, but to a black woman, it's like, what do I got to do? How many more lunges do I have to do to get a bigger butt?
Actually, my wife, she's proud that my daughters have a butt. She's like proud. That's like a proud thing. Like, yeah, my little babies, I see a little booty on them.
So for white guys, they like the boobs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a question that Carl couldn't answer for me earlier, but astrology seems to be much more important to black people than it does white people.
Oh, yeah, because they're always saying, like, shouts out to my Aquarius, whatever,
you know?
You know what?
To all my Sagittariuses out there or whatever. Like it, and it's almost like more like club promotions and stuff like that at the black clubs are like based around horoscopes.
Astrology, yeah.
And,
like my friend Griff was going to come in here and do this, right? And he texted me back the other day and he's like, I can't come in, but I've got a stand-up comic friend that would be great for you. And he's a Libra like me, so you're going to love him. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything?
Right. You know, I don't know. I can't answer that really, but I do. It is true because there's songs like Capricorn, shouts out to, you know, there's songs like that. So I don't know, really.
I think you see how black people take religion and the belief of a higher power to the second degree. If you've ever been to a black church, they really.
Real spiritual.
Yeah. So I think the higher power thing, they just grasp onto the higher power and go with
it. But if you're religious, then astrology would be. The anti.
Well, I think it's
that,
just a belief
right?
in
like,
any sort of higher power or anything like that.
The stars, really, a guide.
Yeah, they grasp onto it.
Oh.
Here is Ashley.
That seems conflicting to me, though.
To me,
it seems like if you are, you know, Bible beating on and, you know, praising Jesus on a Sunday, on Monday talking about how you're a Pisces would be, no, the would be butting with this, heads with each other.
Jen, you're an Aries. You'll never be able to recognize.
And it gets you into free clubs at Friday night, too, if yeah, you like, care I, about your astrology. Yeah,
that would never be like a promotional point for a white person's night. Like, come on out if you're an Aries.
Right. All Gemini's free.
Never.
No. Really?
Not really.
Because guys would come up to the club and go, I think I'm a Scorpio or Sagittarius.
I'm the
I'm a Taurus. Is that one?
I'm the bull looking thing. What is that?
Like,
yeah.
Whatever's free tonight, that's what I am. Right.
Here's Ashley. Good morning, Ashley. You're on the Burt Show. Ask a race.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I would like to know if black women's hair is a different texture than white women's, and if so, if that's why they always use weave and put stuff in their hair and never wear it natural.
It's a great question, Natalie.
No, right? Of course, it is a different texture. It is coarse. We do have to permanent straight, you know, keep it pressed in order to comb it easily. But as far as the weave and the extensions, it's just to have longer hair. It's like, we want to fling it too.
Why do you want to have straight hair? Why not let it be curly?
Because it's easier to comb in the morning. In the morning, it will take a lot less time.
It's not trying to have white hair, trying to like conform or straighten
just trying
it out
to sleep an extra 30 minutes.
That's exactly what it is.
It's
all
it is.
I don't know. It's not trying to be white. It's just easier to comb in the morning.
That's what that whole Chris Rock movie was about, really, right. At the end of the day, yeah. Was about that.
Yeah. Right. And that's the thing that we debate about that. Like my daughters, you know, I want their hair to be more natural. You know, my wife, she does it more. I'm like, baby, let it fro up, you know, so... That's a good question, Jen. I've always
you
wondered
can't
that, too.
Through that stuff in the morning.
What would it look like? Like, if you didn't do anything at all with your hair, what would it look like in the morning?
It would be a big fro, and it's hard to comb through in the morning.
It's like
it
a dude's fro.
Yeah. So all you got to do is one morning when you come in, Bert, just throw a big old bucket of water on Natalie.
Yeah, right.
And run for your life, and then come find her at 10 o'clock and see what it looks like. See,
but why do you have to comb through it in the morning? Like, why can't it just be... I don't know. Wasn't there that big like resurgence in the 60s and 70s where black African American women were just like letting it go fro and enjoying it and sort of doing it that way?
Yeah, it was. But it's just, it's a preference for me. I just would rather comb it in the morning, rather have it straight and curled.
I'm just trying to get to the roots of it. You know, what's the roots of wanting to make it
Oh, you had to bring
straight.
Up roots, huh? Roots. Of course you did. Yeah, 70s fro, roots, got it. No, I'm just kidding.
You guys have any more questions for white people?
Well, mine was camping. What's the obsession with camping? I've never been camping a day in my life.
Closer to nature.
Your nature, man. You got the stars. You're sort of roughing it.
It's rugged. You don't shower. Yeah, you get to make your own breakfast.
Yes.
You're alone.
You're too much of a germphobe to camp, aren't you?
Yeah, man. Come on now. I'm not trying to see a bear.
Carl's sweeping the dirt before he puts the tent on it because he's got to keep it clean.
Hey, we camp out in our backyard. I put up a tent, and that's our camping ground right there, baby.
Hey, Shannon, go ahead. You're on Q100.
Yes, I just wanted to ask a black people a question about going to the movies.
Okay.
I'm curious why it seems like they continue to talk through the entire movie or play their cell phones, and they always over-exaggerate every reaction to a movie, like over-laugh or scream really, really loud. 3 or 4 times instead of just, you know, jump in their seat. And it makes it very difficult to enjoy the movie.
Who wants to take that one?
We're just emotional. I mean, we're real expressive. We're very expressive. The way we dress, the way we talk, the way we walk. We're real expressive. And we're going to express it in the movies, at home, wherever we are. We do it at the house, too. The exact same thing. You should come to a family reunion, a black folks family reunion. Oh, boy.
Can I come to the next one?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, Katie and I, I've told this before. Katie and I now, especially when it comes to horror movies, we are only going to black theaters because it is a much better experience to go see a movie, especially if it's a scary movie, in a black theater than a white one.
Or theater, like when you and I, we saw the Tyler Perry Broadway show here at the Fox, and that's about 90% black people in there. Mm-hmm. As a white person, I had the best time of my life in a theater because it is all out. You don't have to hide anything.
I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier, too, about the kids in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think white people have more of a concern what other people think of them.
We're more self-conscious.
Well,
so,
like, more even repression.
So even if you're in a horror movie and something scares you, and you're like, ah, oh, I'm in a theater. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't talk. You
don't
know what
be
I mean?
Too loud.
Because I think the same question could be asked of white people. Why don't you express yourself enough? Why in the movies do you never laugh out loud? You know, why do you repress all this emotion rather than expressing it? Because she said, why do you over-exaggerate?
Right.
It's not over-exaggerating. It's how they feel. And
yeah,
they're
it's
not
letting it out.
Yeah, it's just letting it out rather than repressing it.
Why don't white people loosen up? Is that what you'd like to say? Yeah, like, exactly, loosen up, white people.
And you know, I'm thinking the same thing. Like when I've gone to a white theater, it's kind of like, you know, you hear everything. Don't get me wrong. I come to the movie to watch it, but it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, I can't remember who was in the group when we went to a concert together, but my friend Delvette was there, and he looked around, how come no white people dance at a concert?
Right, right.
Nobody moving, nobody dancing
like,
at all.
Delvette, this is Bette Midler, sit down!
Oh, honey, the gay boys be dancing at Bette Midler.
Here, Bert Show. The Bert Show.
Here is producer Joanna.
Everyone, how are you guys doing?
As soon as I turn
her
mic on.
Hey, it's better.
Sinking of Mayo's over. Joanna gets no respect.
We've had this talk on the air before, not with Joanna, but the recession, man, is making you do things right now that you normally would not do.
Yep.
And adjusts in a way that you normally would not have to adjust. And Joanna's right in the thick of it right now.
I am. And I think we have had this conversation before. It was like right when I was making the decision to move back home with my parents. Because financially, I cannot afford to live on my own. And yeah, I had the roommate for a while, but I was like constantly having to find a new roommate every year. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to rent my house and I'm going to move back home with my parents for the time being.
You're how old?
I'm 26.
Oh, say it like that.
Yeah. Say it like somebody punched her in the chest. Oh,
I
know.
26. No, I think she thinks I should be financially secure by 26. Is that what that was from?
Yes, that was I shouldn't be in this position at 26. You know, maybe if I was 23, just out of college, move back home for a little while, you know, figure out life. I should have life figured out.
At 26?
Somewhat.
But recession's changed everything.
Well,
right?
You did. I think you've got it figured out. You're about to marry a guy who's going to Emory. Like, you're pretty set. You're good.
I'm waiting for him to get his MBA so that I can just sit at home.
So you get your MRS.
Take a hobby.
Right.
He gets his MBA, you get your MRS, everybody's happy.
I'm pretending to be ambitious. So he's like, oh, baby, you're just ambitious. If you want to stay at home for a little while, it's fine.
But the recession really has changed everything. Like Melissa's stance on the whole thing, because you know how Melissa loves consistency.
That's right.
Is that, you know, once you leave, bye-bye. That's it. There's no coming back. But I think you've softened that.
Yeah. Well, during a recession, no. I mean, all bets are off. I mean, my sister is laid off and having to find a job. And so I have several friends who are trying to find a job. I mean, and so it's all ages. Mm-hmm. It's all backgrounds. It's, you know, the recession is not being prejudiced against one, you know, gender or one income level or another. And so you have to do what you have to do to survive. You
right.
Know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and so that's what I did. I had to move back home. I moved back in January and it's been fine. You know, my parents don't really bother me. We barely see each other really because our schedules are so different. And I probably see them just in passing sometimes. But last week they did something that made me realize that I need to either get a third job or just, you know, figure something out because I don't know how much longer I can put up with this, especially if Jason and I aren't going to live together until we're married. So I sometimes occasionally I go to Columbus to see Jason on the weekends. My fiance, he lives 2 hours from here. So that's the only time we see each other is on the weekends. I've never had to tell anybody where I'm going or what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I just packed my things that morning and left and went to Columbus, got there. And I was so exhausted that day. When I got to his house, I fell asleep. And
so is this on a Friday?
This was on a Friday.
You did the show, then you didn't work your other job.
No, I went straight to Columbus.
So you were there by what time?
I was there at like 2.
And you left this house at what time?
And I left the house at 5 in the morning.
Okay.
So fell asleep and didn't think much of it. Well, all of a sudden, my phone just starts to blow up, and I didn't answer because I was asleep. Then Jason's phone starts to blow up, and he, after maybe the fourth or fifth time someone called, he answered, and I heard him in the other room, and it was my mom. And she was calling. She was like, where's Joanna? She didn't call me, and I'm worried about her. And he's like telling her like, whoa, sorry, you know, she's here. And she's like, well, next time she needs to call me because I don't know where she is and I worry about her. I just love her so much.
Is that your mom's accent right there?
Yeah, I love it. Okay. Yeah.
And I just get so mad because I was like, I am 26. Like, I don't have to tell you where I'm going or what I'm doing. And so she and I had to calm down before I called her back because I was so pissed off about it. Mm-hmm. But then I realized she's still my mom. No. She still worries about me.
Yeah. You've talked, I mean, before you had to move back in with your parents, you had talked before about, you know, Jason being in Columbus and you going down there often. So in the times in the past that you've gone to see him, have you called them and told them where you're going and I'm leaving and I'll call you when I get down there and all that? So the rules have changed since you've moved back home.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
I think that's always the case, though.
Yeah.
Did you inadvertently tell them, like you would say, Jason and I are going out in Columbus this weekend, or without realizing it, that you communicated to them. So your expectation is, well, they know I go to Columbus after I work on the Bird Show every Friday. It's what I do. And their expectation is you've told them every week before.
Right. Well, the thing is it's not consistent. It's not every Friday. It's like sometimes he comes to Columbus and sometimes they'll ask me like, oh, is Jason coming up this weekend or things like that? And I guess it slipped my mind and it irritates me. And then, you know, now every time I go somewhere, my mom's calling me now and she's like, hey, are you coming home to have dinner? And it's weird because I'm like, right. I shouldn't be going through this.
But I think your parents now know your schedule, though. So when you're not there, they're going to obviously get worried about you like a roommate would.
Here's Rosemary. Good morning, Rosemary. You're on Q100.
Hi. I was just going to tell you that I'm going to be 26 and I moved home with my parents, too. I work full time in school full time. So there's no shame at all.
We can take these calls for the next 2 hours.
I think the answer is Rosemary and Joanna talked. I think Rosemary moves into your parents' house and you move into Rosemary's parents' house. then they don't really care.
Totally different.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. They totally won't care.
But the thing is, your parents haven't done this, right?
No.
This is not their usual
behavior. I've lived on my own since I was 19 years old. I showed up at the house with a U-Haul truck, put all my stuff in the U-Haul, and moved out. And I never came home until January of this year.
Were y'all cocky too about it at 19? I am never coming back here.
No. I'm not under your roof and your control anymore. You can't tell me what to do or check up on me all the time.
Hey, Michelle, good morning. You're on the Bird Show.
Good morning. I'm 50 years old, and I still tell a family member when I'm leaving town.
Really?
Or when I'm going someplace. And I have a 23-year-old who lives on her own, and if she goes out of town, she calls me. Not because she has to, but because she needs to have somebody know where she is. And then that way, when I'm trying to reach her, I know that she's safe. I know she's someplace where she's supposed to be. If you disappear for a weekend or you disappear for a week, somebody should know where you are.
You feel like you just got chewed out by your mom.
I know, but the thing is, it's a change in behavior. We've talked before about moving back in at home, and my argument in the past, when it's non-recession and when the recession's over, I'll be right back in the same place, is that if you move back in home, it's your responsibility to take care of your stuff around the house. Like, there's some people that non-recession that would move back in home and expect food to be cooked for them, their laundry be done for them, and all this stuff. But on the same token, your parents, you also have to know that if the child is moving back in, then you can't be their parent, like you were when they were a teenager anymore. You have to kind of hold yourself back. So I think as we're saying, this is a change in behavior. This is not, a common thing that her mom has done.
And I think it's short term. I think you've got to just hang out and deal with it for a little while until you get married. I don't think that they'll do that.
It's only 4 or 5 years.
When you get married and when you live with your husband, they're going to know next that he's
May.
Looking out for you.
I know.
And that he's checking on you and that he's going to be the one that's worried about you and knows your whereabouts and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to continue when you move out and are married with your husband. It's only going to be this short period of time.
Right. And I don't think so either. It's just the fact that this is going to start happening and that I'm going to New York next week. I'm going to have to tell them, I'm leaving for New York.
But what's wrong with that?
Because I never had to answer to anything.
I feel like out of respect for the little girl.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you have the same conversation? Like when I'm traveling, I still tell my parents, not out of they need to know where I am.
I do.
But if I'm having a conversation with my parents.
Do you, Melissa?
I do, but I keep reiterating this is a change in behavior. Mm-hmm. This is not Joanna and her mother's relationship up to this point. Mm-hmm. She hasn't been telling her every time she goes out of town. I do.
I think when Mother's Day rolls around, you need to gift wrap your mom some respect.
The Bird Show. The Bird Show.
Let's get producer Carl in here. Carl, this is the first time, really, that I have ever seen the example of, one person in an entire family sort of acting as the patriarch for not only his own house, but it seems to me, Carl, you're the go-to dude for your brothers and your sister's kids, and everybody comes to Carl, man.
I don't want to make it seem like that, but I think I'm the most talkative. I'll talk to my brother real upfront. So I'll talk to my brother and my sister the exact same way. I'll go to my dad. I'll go to my mom. Hey, why did this happen? So I'm that one of us five. So I think that's probably what it is, really.
In a case like this, though, you've got kind of a tie to your nephew here that's coming to you for help, right?
Oh, yeah, man. I got 3 kids. But before I have my kids, I have my nephews. I have 15, 16.
Training ground.
Oh, yeah, man. And I love them like my kids. So, excuse me. But so I get a call from my nephew the other day about prom. So they're all starting to get around that age where, I have nieces and nephews from 21 to 3. So there, some of my older nephews are getting to that age where they're starting to get more involved with different issues that I'm going to have to really address. Like my other nephew had issues with gangs and all kind of stuff. But this nephew right here, he called me about the prom. Mm-hmm. So his whole thing is my sister, she's real. Like I said, I'm the real go-to, real direct guy. My sister's real mellow, non-materialistic, just real cool and easy about mostly everything. And so she thinks that my nephew wants to go to the prom and do it big for the most part. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so she feels that, you know, there's a limit on it.
See, when you're going to prom and you're, what, 17 years old, you think there's never, ever going to be a day in your life bigger than this. This is it right
this
here.
Is it. This
and
what I've been working
towards. Downside.
That's right.
Other end of the prom, downside of your life.
That's right. Right.
Got to go big or go home.
That's exactly what he said, too. He said, man, I got a favor. Man, either I got to go big or I'm going home. That's exactly what he's told me, right? Funny. So I said, all right, man, what do you need? So with my nephews, it's not even a question of what they need. It's whatever they need, what you know. I'll do it for you.
Uncle Carl's going to take care of it.
Yeah, whatever it is, man, because I've always wished I had that cool uncle. So me and my brother, we that guy. So whatever my nephews and nieces call for, whatever, dude. So he called
me. I want Carl to be my uncle. I want Carl's credit card to be my uncle.
but he asked me for a couple of more bucks, right? So he says his mom is not feeling him wanting to do it the way he wants to do it. So I'm like, man, whatever you want to do. So he wants to get like the limo. Mm-hmm. After the limo, he wants to get a drop convertible caddy. You know, he wants to, instead of the regular old tuxedo shoes, he wants to get alligator shoes. So he wants to go hard. Now, mind you, alligator shoes is real popular up in Michigan.
Okay.
My nephew's up in Michigan. So he wants to get the gators. He wants to go hard, get the cane. So he said that his mom.
That'd be cute. Is he going to match with his prom date too?
Oh, I'm sure.
Like he's going to match his tie to her dress. Oh, yeah.
Of course he is.
Thing.
This is the biggest night of his life forever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And my nephew, I promise you, this nephew got flavor. I mean, flavor across the board. So I know how he's going to do it. So
anybody that brings a cane to prom is cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Or does the whole white suit, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. White suit and a cane.
But yeah, he's going to do it real flashy. So he called me for a couple extra bucks. So I'm like, man, whatever. He asked for, I think he started for 50, but I knew he was teetering.
50?
Yeah.
What's 50 going to get you nowadays?
Yeah.
Basically, he's been doing it hard his own self. He's worked, so he's got his own cash, so
he's been saving up for this big night.
Good for him.
And how many other uncles in the family is he giving the same story to and getting 50 I know, from right? him and 50 from him?
I thought about that. But it's only me and my brother, so whatever, man. He can get it. So he asked for a couple extra bucks, so I sent the dude 200. Whatever, man. Do
nice.
It.
Nice.
Have it big you want to go. Nice. Do it hard. So
we
I get
see
a little,
pictures of this.
I get a little slack from my, I didn't get a slack from my wife, but she says, she thinks that I should tell my sister about it. I'm like, whatever. I'm not going to tell my sister about it. It's like, I'm the second dude. I'm the second dad. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't. And then he also said, don't tell mom, man. You know how she'd be tripping. I'm like, okay. I know
did
my
you
sister.
Tell him that you were sending more than he asked for, or did he just get the envelope and open it up and there were four bills in there instead of one?
I just sent it to him.
That's
actually,
cool.
I wired it to him, too, man.
So,
I wanted to do it hard.
That's awesome.
That's the prom, baby.
I wish I could have seen his face when he was standing at that counter in the Publix up in Michigan and the wire comes through.
I didn't think anybody wired money unless your friend is about to get killed because of an outstanding debt. I need the money by noon. Wire it to me.
Or you're 17 years old because everything's that urgent when you're 17 years old.
That's exactly what he said, too. I said, man, I'm going to put it in the for you. He said, man, I thought you were going like Western Union or something. I said, what you know about Western Union, first of all?
So he said he didn't want his mom to know, and your wife's now, she's got to know because you gave him a little extra bump.
Yeah, but I don't think it's necessary. You know, it's like...
Is his dad involved in his life?
Yeah, his dad is there, but he doesn't want any of them to know because his dad is cool. His dad is the what basically mentored me, so I understand how it is. So... His dad's not going to really trip, but he just wants to do it on his own. He just wants to make them think that he's doing it on his own, and he's going to go big.
He is doing it on his own. He called up Uncle. Yeah. He hustled Uncle.
Yeah. I don't know.
He even moved it from putting a, you know, what, 30-cent stamp on it to spending 20 bucks on a Western Union.
Right. Cursed me into wiring it.
See, I understand the dude code aspect of the whole thing. Like, you're the cool uncle, and he's the nephew, and he's asked your own little bonding thing. But the fact that he said, don't tell mom.
I thought about that.
Made it a secret. And now I think maybe your wife is right that almost mom's
got
to know.
No, don't tell because you don't want to ask your parents for anything. So you go to anybody else you can find in the family to ask for money.
I know why.
That's the first person you avoid.
I know why he said, don't tell mom. Because at some point when they were talking about it, he said, mom, I need $50 more because I want to get,
you know, these shoes to go with my tux or whatever it was he said. And she said, I've given you enough. You've right. saved enough. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a good enough time. He goes, well, I'm going to call Carl. And she said, don't call Carl. You're not calling anybody else. You're going to have a great prom. Everything's cool. And he said, okay. And then the next day, when mom wasn't home, he picked up the phone. He called Carl.
Is he going to hide? Like, I'm trying to figure out how he's going to keep it from his parents. Let's say you don't talk to your sister and that he goes to prom. Is he going to, like, how is he going to hide that money, that spending from him? Or is he going to try? Or is he?
I think that he'll just assume that they think that he made it himself.
Okay. All right.
Because they know he's a stand-up dude. He's not really like a, you know, bum or anything. So he has a bunch of hustle. So it wouldn't be a surprise that he could come up with all of this.
So he's working hard for his money. So this is almost like a reward for working hard because you almost did it all by yourself.
Definitely. Okay. Definitely.
Okay. He did do it. He worked hard for that money.
I say don't tell.
Nephew, man.
I think it's okay. You get the excuse. You're the uncle. It's like grandparents. Mm-hmm. You can spoil them.
And he has a new girlfriend. And I heard she's fine. My nephew.
Well, good job getting him that hotel room. Right.
The Burt Show. Hey, The Burt Show.
All right, let's back up for just a second here, because it was a few weeks ago that Lee called us, and she wanted the wedding dress that her mom wore in her wedding, but mom had passed away.
I'm engaged, and I am supposed to get married in September. Okay, so my mom died a few years ago. And she promised my older sister her wedding dress that my mom got married in. But now, my sister is not with that guy anymore. She doesn't even have a boyfriend. She's kind of nowhere near getting married. I really, really, really want the dress.
All right, so then Big Sis came on, and she basically said, hey, this is the way my mom wanted it, right? And there was a weird, like, tone of...
Well, Big Sister had said something to the effect of that her mom loved, you know, because her big sister was engaged at the time the mother granted her the wedding dress and wanted her to have it and said, oh, she loved my fiance and everything. And I think Jeff's the one that picked up on the fact that, wait a second, well, what do you think about your little sister's fiance? And it just kind of came to light that the older sister felt like she was reflecting what the mother would think about. He's a Hispanic man and the mother would not approve. And so that's why the sister wasn't giving her the wedding dress.
So we sort of put that to bed and we got older sister on and she's like, no, I feel very strongly about this. No, 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 no. I have the dress and I'll wear it when I'm getting married. Well, then the email came in either last night or this morning from younger sister Lee here, and things changed a little bit.
Okay.
Hey, Lee.
Hi.
Good morning. Hi. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Good. Good. You just sound happier since the last time we had you on.
Well, it looks like I'm getting the dress.
Yay! Awesome. That's good. That's so great.
Yay. What happened?
Well, a couple days ago, my sister actually came over after work and with the dress in hand and handed it right to me. And I was like, what? You know, what happened? Why the change of heart all of a sudden? And she said that she had a dream the night before that my mother came to her and said, you should give her the dress. I want her to have the dress, and I would want her to have the dress. Wow. And that was it. And she felt like my mom was really coming to her through the dream. And I don't know if I believe in that or it was her own, you know, like psyche or unconscious or whatever that was telling her that that's the right thing to do. But either way, I think it's true. I think my mom would have wanted me to have the dress. And
well, not to be disrespectful, but you know, if it's true, it's kind of freaky. Your mom listens to The Burt Show.
That's a little freaky.
And that's, you know,
I don't think we get rated on that.
I don't think we get rated from, you know, other worlds, but that's, you know, kind of cool.
The ghost hunters always tell us that they communicate through technology, through radio waves.
Wow.
With the new PPM, we'll take anything we can get.
There's a whole sense of responsibility in that one.
The fish will not be happy that we are getting high ratings in heaven.
Oh, it's true. Oh, boy.
Well, nobody said her mom's in heaven.
Oh, Jeff, that's horrible.
Well, just saying, high pitch.
So she came to you and she said she thought this was like almost a ghostly thing?
Yeah, she really felt, she said it was so vivid and it just seemed, it felt so real. And she really felt like my mom, our mom came to her to tell her
that. I believe that stuff.
Dream.
I totally believe that. Has your mom come to you and give you a high five in your dream?
No, I wish. I miss her.
Well, I think that was the question, too, you know? I mean, I think we asked, what would your mom say? What would she think if she was looking down on all this thing? So
she said it. Wow.
Well, that's good news for you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'll email you guys pictures in the draft.
Hold on. I want to know if you heard the comments that your sister made about your fiancé.
Yeah, I did. My sister ended up talking to me about it.
Okay.
And,
this is a Colombian
guy? My mom was super traditional, but at the same time, I know that if she had met my fiancé, it would have, all of that would have disappeared in a hot minute, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She would have seen how happy I was and in love, or am, how happy I am.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have been able to let go of her stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, good for you. I mean, it's all turned out.
Yeah.
The Burt Show is never quite sure what to do with a really good, positive sort of wrapped in a nice little bow ending.
But
we got it.
So we're going to hang up.
We're going to hang up. And we never want to hear from you ever again.
I do want to see you in your dress.
Thank you guys for kind of helping me through that.
I do want to see you in your dress. If you can send us a picture from your wedding day, we'd love it.
Definitely.
Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the update, Lee. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.